I want to say good morning to everybody and happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath to everybody. How you doing? Okay, it's a pleasure for me to be in the house of the Lord today. I have a solemn message for the church members and for the world. And I'm asking you please to give me some time. It is a lengthy message, but I have to deliver this message. Do not sleep, please. If you're watching online, live or replay, do not sleep. Do not be disturbed by whatever. Listen to this important message. The title of it is a serious warning to those that are plotting against God's people. A serious warning against those that are plotting against God's people. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, I truly believe this is a serious warning, a serious message, a solemn message, a grave message for a grave time. I'm asking you to inspire me to put your words in my mouth so that I can deliver it the way that you want it to be preached, that everybody online, live, and replay, every church member, everyone that will listen to this message will understand it and try to get their lives together. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Esther was written after the book of Daniel. God has given to Esther, God has given to King Nebuchadnezzar a dream about the successive empires that would exist on the earth before the second coming of Christ, who would establish his kingdom that would never pass under the domination of no other kingdoms, and his would exist forever. Daniel 4, verse 44. See also verse 35. The four empires, as we all know, are Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, and Roman Empire. Daniel occupied the highest positions in the first two empires. In each of these, there was something wrong taking place. Satan continues the great controversy, trying to extirpate God's children or to destroy them, who valiantly represented the kingdom of heaven in a pagan and idolatrous land. That is one of the reasons, by the way, they have been brought into captivity to do the job the Hebrew nation refused to do when they were in their land. Under the Babylonian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar erected a golden image, establishing a universal false worship. He decreed that at the dedication of the said statue, all those who were invited should bow down before the image. Daniel's companions, knowing the commandments of the true God concerning idolatry, refused to worship the false God. A death decree was pronounced against them, and upon refusal to disobey the living God and obey the king, they were thrown into a burning fiery furnace. First warning to the world, to the leaders of the church, to the leaders of the world. Those who cast them in the furnace, died by the intensity of the flame. The text says, Daniel 3, verse 22, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is the first warning. You try to kill God's people, you end up being killed instead. First warning. But in verse 25, the king, astonished, says, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Can you imagine that? And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The life of the servants of the Lord was preserved, for he was in their midst. Under the Medo-Persian Empire, Daniel was promoted the first among three presidents who would oversee 120 princes representing 120 provinces of the kingdom, according to Daniel 6, verses 1 to 3. Taken by jealousy, these men have decided to get rid of Daniel. But to realize that horrific project, they need to find a fault in his administration. Not having found any, they resorted to get or forge one in his spiritual life. Therefore, they proposed a bill to King Darius that for a full month, none should make no petitions to any god than to the king, according to verses 4 to 8. Unfortunately, the king, without understanding what these men got in their minds, signed the bill into law. Daniel, as usual, continues to pray his God three times a day, not fearing the law, for the laws of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Verse 15. Daniel was caught praying and thrown into the lion's den. Everybody knows about it. But there was something unusual taking place. Early in the morning, the king rose to go see whether God has been able to save the life of his faithful servant. To his question to his a supposed living Daniel answers, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Verse 23, then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. What was then the decision of King Darius toward the perpetrators or plotters of Daniel's death? Second warning. Verse 24, Daniel chapter 3. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery over them, and break all their bonds and pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. This is a second warning sent by God to the successive kings that would be on the earth to the end of time. But unfortunately, none would pay attention to that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown into the burning fiery furnace. They did not die. On the contrary, those who threw them into the burning fiery furnace was killed. Daniel was set to die by those who didn't like him. They put him in a lion's den to die. He did not die. But those who fomented that plot against him were thrown into the same lion's den. They were killed along with their children and their wives. This is a second warning to those who are plotting against God's people. Now, another king coming after Darius in the same kingdom was Ahasuerus. This king gave a feast unto all his great men for a matter of 180 days. Let us move back to the book of Esther, reading from chapter 1, verse 1. If you can go there, please go there. We will go through the whole book of Esther. Esther chapter 1, verse 1 for now. It reads, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus," this is Ahasuerus which ran from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. Verses 10 to 12. Esther chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. "On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry," with what? Wine. Underline wine. "He commanded seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king," verse 11, "to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the royal crown," or royal, crown royal, "to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on." Verse 12, "But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. As a consequence of the refusal of Queen Vashti to dance, showing her fair looking," whatever, "before the great of the king, she was excluded from the royal family. She was no longer the queen." It is always when kings are drunk that they make bad decisions. But this time it turns to be to the benefit of God's children. During the reign of Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar organized an idolatrous feast in which he invited the great of his kingdom. As he tasted the wine, underline wine, he made bring the sacred vessels that his father took from the house of the Lord at Jerusalem from the temple of the Lord to serve his great. Because of this action, a hand wrote on the wall of the place they were at, the end of his kingdom. The same night, Belshazzar died, putting an end to the Babylonian Empire, and the Medo-Persian Empire was established. It was in a feast made for his great that King Herod II, after tasting the wine that being drunk, he asked his adulterine girl to dance to show her beauty to his great. As he lost his mind, he promised to his daughter whatever she wanted. Unfortunately, her mother advised her to ask the king, the head of John the Baptist. John the Baptist's head was chopped off. We will come back to that serious point. We will talk about Herod, his daughter, his adulterous wife, and the wine of Babylon. Let us go back to Esther. After a selection process, a young Jewess who was called Hadassah, now called Esther, becomes the new queen. At that time, the children of Israel were still in captivity in the Second Empire. The Bible says in Esther chapter 2, verse 5, "Now in Shushan, the place, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, a Benjamite." Verse 7. "And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father no mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter." Let's jump down to Esther chapter 3. Please understand, I believe that you do not understand where I am going, but I am going somewhere. You may have understood certain part of it, but the whole picture will be understood. Believe me. Esther chapter 3, verse 1. "After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Haggite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him." Now you will see what action will many do after the king has decreed a certain decree in favor of Haman, who was a pagan. Haman was reverenced like people do to the popes now. Verse 2. "And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate," do what? Verse 2, "bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king has commanded concerning him that everybody should bow down and reverence Haman. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Did Mordecai bow down before Haman? Did Mordecai reverence Haman? Then, verse 3, the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgresseth thou the king's command? As I see things are shaping up nowadays, the same question will be asked unto us very soon. Why transgress thou the king's command? Now we will see what will happen. Pay attention to what we will read from verse 4. Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto whom? Mordecai. Who was talking to him on a daily basis? Those who would want him to bow down before Haman, to reverence him. They kept asking him daily, according to the text, why transgresseth thou the king's command? Verse 4 said, and he hearkened not unto them. Hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. A Jew does not worship false gods. Neither does a true Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. It doesn't matter whether you are mad, whether you are enraged, whether you are full of wrath, we will not bow down. Whether you report us to the king, we as Seventh-day Adventists will not bow down. Verse 6. And he thought scorn to lay hands, talking about Haman, thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. For they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Will it be the same for us, brothers and sisters? The same project will be forged against us pretty soon. There will be a death decree decreed against Mordecai and his people. Don't forget that Mordecai was a Jew. And Haman, verse 8, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. In this context, to suffer them means to allow them to live. Don't allow them to live, because they have a different law, a different set of law. Us, We as Seventh-day Adventists, we have a different set of law, which is totally different from theirs. And because of that, they will try to kill us. Verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. The same thing happened to Jesus. Judas sold Jesus Christ for how many pieces of talent of silver? 30 pieces of silver. Death decree is signed by the king and becomes law. Verse 10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the Jew's enemy. Do we have enemies nowadays? Brothers and sisters online, you who are right here in this temple, do we have enemies? They don't know they have enemies. We have plenty of enemies. You will know it very soon. You will feel it. You will live it very soon. Verse 14. Verse 10, and the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the Jew's enemy. If you give your ring to somebody who ate Seventh-day Adventist to sign anything he want to sign, you're in trouble. Verse 14, Jacob time of trouble. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people that they should be ready against that day to kill the Jews. Church and state union has been formed. Church and state union is forming, is being in formation right now, and pretty soon it will be complete. Verse 15. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan, a place, and the king and Haman sat down to do what? To drink. But the city Shushan was perplexed. Prayer and fasting. When you see these things, one thing to do is to pray and to fast. And I feel like the church is not praying. And I feel like the church is not fasting. Probably you don't know what is taking place on the earth right now. I will not talk about it because I don't have time for this message. Probably next time. Esther chapter 4, verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. But will the true church die? No. We will get back to that point. Queen Esther found grace unto the king, and Haman is invited into a special feast. It's a double feast. A first day and then a second day. I will mix them up a little bit. Chapter 5, verse 6. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. Then, verse 9, chapter 5, verse 9, Then went Haman because he was invited. Don't forget that Haman is the enemy of Mordecai and also the enemy of the Jews. He wants to kill them. And after fasting and praying, he has been invited into a banquet between the queen and the king. He was the only one being invited. He was so happy. But he did not know that Esther was a Jewess. He did not know that Esther was a Jewess and that she was fasting and praying that God would deliver, protect, not just her, but the people all across the world. And the king said unto Esther, verse 9, did I read it? No. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Remember that Mordecai was a Jew. A gallows is prepared to execute Mordecai. Verse 14. Then said Zeresh, his wife, the wife of Haman, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. This is the death decree for Mordecai. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. First defeat of Haman, chapter 6, verse 1. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. Why? Verse 2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana, I don't know, and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king's Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. Verse 4. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Verse 5. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. Wow. Don't forget that he has prepared for Mordecai what? A gallows. To do what? To hang him. And he came into the court to participate in what? In the banquet. Who did he see first in the court? The man that he wanted to kill, whose name is Mordecai. Not so many people are following. I'm sorry for that. Verse 7. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal, verse 5. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor? more than to myself. He believed that he would be the one that the king wanted to honor. And he will do his best to highlight everything that he would want from the king for himself. Verse 8. Let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. Like if he wanted to be a second king. Wow. Verse 9. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the man, to the head of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the men with all whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel of and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to whom? Mordecai, the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. Do you understand that? Don't forget, this is a message for you, but for the world. They need to understand that. You may be thinking doing something against God's people, but it will fall on your head. You don't want to plot against God's people. You may be paying the consequences. You, your wife, and your children. We have seen it in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel, now we will see it. We are studying for Esther and God's people, for Mordecai. And what verse now? Verse 13. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews. That's a serious warning. That's a serious warning. If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, if these people be Seventh-day Adventists, keeping the law of God, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. And while, verse 14, they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, because the first banquet happened, there will be the second one. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther has prepared. Esther 7, verse 8. Then the king returned out to the palace garden, into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was falling onto the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Symbolizing what? His death. Verse 9. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon." There will be a Sunday law coming to America. And the last phase of that Sunday law will be the last phase of that Sunday law will be what? The death decree. Oh, let me go faster. Oh my God. Now, let me just jump to say that not just Haman got killed in the gallows that he prepared to kill Mordecai, but also all those people who were preparing to kill God's children got killed. All of them. And according to Esther 9, verse 16, 75,000 died. Not Jews, but those who prepared to kill God's children. At least, because there were many more that I just put aside, 75,000 died. You don't play with God's children. You don't do that. It will not be good to your benefit. Okay, now, John the Baptist, King Herod II, Herodias, the adulterous wife, and Salome, the adulterine daughter of Herod and Herodias. John the Baptist represents the church of God in the last days, whose mission is to preach the straight message, calling people to keep the commandments of God, particularly the fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath. The people of God will ask the God's children to come out of Babylon as we will denounce her sins. As we do that, the church, represented by Herodias, united with the state, symbolized by Herod II, will not be happy for denouncing her sins. So as the king of the earth, particularly of the United States of America, will be drunk with the wine of Babylon, which constitutes her doctrinal lies, will accept a proposition of law urged upon by the daughters of Catholic Church, which are the so-called Protestant churches. They prefer being called evangelicals. So King Herod II symbolizes the states, Herodias, Babylon the Great, Salome, the apostate churches, the Protestant churches, or the evangelicals. And the wine that the king and his great were drinking symbolizes the doctrinal lies of Catholic Church. As the people of God fearlessly will keep preaching a displeasing message, the Protestant churches in the United States will ask the American Congress to enact a Sunday law, another Sunday law, and then the death decree, symbolized by the death decree of John, or by the death of John the Baptist. I want you to notice something. John the Baptist died. His death symbolized the death of many of God's children and the little time of trouble. Do you know that many of us will die in the little time of trouble? Did you know that? I don't know if I will die or not. But many of God's children will die when? In the little time of trouble. But when the death decree is enforced, none of God's children will die. Hear what I read. Many will be imprisoned in the little time of trouble. Selected messages, volume 3, page 397. Many will be imprisoned. Many will flee for their lives from cities and towns and many will be martyrs for Christ's sake in standing in defense of the truth. Of the truth. Jump down. But I told you that none will die when the death decree will be enforced in America and across the world. In the time of trouble, God will, according to Psalms chapter 27, verse 5, in the time of trouble, read it, please. Open your book. Open your Bible. We'll read this text. Psalm 27, verse 5. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Revelation 13 says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So, this is when Sunday law is enforced in America. This will happen. The beast is the papal power or the papacy. The image of the beast is the apostate Protestantism, the evangelicals. They will speak through the enactment of Sunday law, the last being the death decree. Finally, brothers and sisters, I said that I would preach the whole thing, but I'm going to cut it short. Revelation 16 says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The false prophet is Protestantism, the apostate church, the Protestant churches, the evangelicals, the false prophet. According to Revelation 16 verse 13, the dragon is the false religions in the world, the pagan churches, and the state altogether. But the beast is Catholic Church, particularly the papacy. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation 6 says, and when he had opened the faith seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? That's the cry of those who have died in the dark ages for a matter of 1260 years. And when they cried out like that to God, this is what God answers to them. A white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. That means in the little time of trouble, many will be killed. As I said, brothers and sisters, what will happen? Last verse, and I'm done. What will happen to those who persecute God's children? Verses 15 to 17. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. There will be seven plagues. They will die. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? If I were you, a Catholic, if I were you, a member of the apostate Protestant churches, if I were you, one of the leaders of America or of the world, I would heed this solemn warning. If you do not, the same sentence will envelop you all. Brothers and sisters, there will be two camps, those who serve the Lord and those who would not serve him, those who will persecute God's children keeping the Ten Commandments and those who will not do that. I want to ask you a question. Who want to be among those children of God? Let me see your hand. The children of God who will be among those who will see him face to face. Would you stand up for a short prayer? A short prayer. I will not pray long. Would you stand up, please? We will pray that God would protect us. Even when persecution comes, we will not bow down. We will not reverence the law of the state. We will not, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we have made our commitment that we will not bow down. We have made our commitment as Daniel to pray to fast, as Esther to pray to fast, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, that we will not pay attention to what you said, king. Whatever happens to us, we will not worship your statue. So, should we say, I pray that you would bless everyone in this gathering, everyone who is online, watching, who will be watching, that we will not bow down when Sunday law is enacted. Bless us all. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.